in the studio with us now. Melanie Sims is back. I talk to her occasionally. She had time living in Sunbury. And where are you living now? Where do you call
I'm
home?
Right down the road in Sealings Grove.
Okay, so you're still in
the
region.
Library.
Fabulous. And you have literally been around the world visiting people and all over the U.S. and really necessarily in the middle portion of the state, spreading the words about your poets, Perry County Poet Laureate back in the day. And then we've seen you all over on radio stations and TV stations and interviews and newspapers and publishing a couple of poetry books. Life Signs and Fortune Cookies is now out.
Poems and collection of poems and short stories. Yep. Oh,
okay, so that is out. And let's see, what's your other poetry book about the sun?
Oh, Remember the Sun?
There we go. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Okay. I appreciate it. You gave me a copy and signed it, but I looked through it, but I don't know that I just didn't commit
They're
it to
They're all on Amazon.com.
All right. Well, that's right. Go to Amazon.com. You can also search Melanie Sims and end up with the MelanieSims.com/WordPress site. That's your site.
Exactly.
And there's a lot of information there, a lot of helpful stuff. But the buying place is Amazon. You also have an appearance coming up, Barnes & Noble and Wilkes.
Yes, I do this Saturday. I'm very excited about it. It's for the Poetry in Transit launch party, August 16th at Barnes & Noble, and I was one of the poems poets selected to have my poems placed on the Lucerne County transportation buses for the year of 2020. And our theme was small, and I submitted a poem that was, I believe, fit the theme of small, and it worked. So I was very excited. I'm really excited about seeing this poem because it was dedicated to my son Chris when he was little, so that also makes it special for me, so he was all happy.
Well, and Poetry in Motion?
Poet in Transit. Poetry in Transit. Yeah. So these, all the poems, it's been a program that was established some years ago now, and everybody that, you know, becomes involved and that wins the competition gets to see their poems. Basically, they're put up on all the bus systems, and it gives the poet and the community an opportunity to see the work, and so it's a lot of fun.
Right, it is a lot of fun, and people read the poems, and whomever it is in the world that carries post-it notes. They sometimes put notes up there, you know, saying how the poet changed, you know, what they were thinking about. And it's just a fun thing. So, but you're out there in all kinds of poetry readings. You've read at the state capitol and on the public TV stations around here and the commercial TV stations. I think I saw you on WBRE one time.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, okay.
That's right.
Super. So what is your latest good work?
Well, I think the latest thing I'm very excited about was that I was approached by Dr. Rose Barassa at Northeastern Illinois University, and she said, hey, my good buddy off-Broadway composer Leo Schwartz would like to take your poem, Ode to a Lover on the Susquehanna, and turn it into music. And I'm going, what? So I'm very excited that she actually sent me the music, the sheet music now, and I see it by poet Melanie Sims and music by Leo Schwartz, and she's going to be producing it in clarinet and voice to start, and it's going to be it's the first appearance and the first production of it's going to be at Northeastern Illinois University during the season, the holiday season. So I'm like, fly me out. So I was like, okay, we're working on that. So I'm going to come out and fly up and hear it produced. So I was very flattered and very excited to be able to see something I've written turned to music, you know, focused into music.
So you're a grad student right now.
Wilkes University. Yeah, go Wilkes. Love it. I love Wilkes University. Their literary program's amazing. And the community's amazing. Yeah.
Working on
science fiction. I have a master's thesis, and it's a science fiction book called Alien Prophecy. And my mentor is Robert Mooney. Very happy about it. Yeah.
Alien Prophecy. So give me a glimpse of what that might fall together.
Well,
as.
It's just a little background, a little glimpse, because I don't want to give away any spoilers, but it's basically about this woman, this young woman who lives in Bloomsburg, Pennsylvania, and she ends up getting all of this telepathic, clairvoyant information about an alien invasion, and she doesn't realize at first what's going on. She thinks that she's mentally ill, and she ends up going in to see the psychologist who she doesn't know is actually gathering information from other patients who are also having the same thing, and she finds out that for whatever reason, her experience, which will probably tie in later because she's part alien, is that it's going to help the military uncover some secrets to help them fight the invasion. So, well it's going to get it's in development, but I just love sci-fi.
I love it.
Thank you. And actually came from a UFO I saw in Bloomsburg, a big, huge orange orb, and I know I wasn't dreaming. It was phenomenal what I saw. And just 2 weeks later, interestingly enough, my son's friend, who was in the Air Force, said, oh, is this what you saw? And he had recorded one, too, on his camera. And we sent it to MUFON and go, that made me feel so much better. It's like, we're both seeing these big orange orbs. I mean, what the heck are these things?
It's not at sunset, right? I mean,
come on. No, it was at 2 in the morning.
Okay. All right, and this is real.
Yeah, this is real. Okay. So well, good inspiration. All right, so
we'll, yeah, I was just going to say, we'll set the inspiration aside for the moment, get back to the reality. I'm sorry, that did.
I love throwing you off.
Well, I'm a skeptic, you know, so yeah. This is, you know, people sit on that side of the table all the time, and it's like they're testing me or something. Mm-hmm. So, all right, so anyway, back to the Alien Prophecy.
Yes.
That'll be the book, and
yes.
It'll come out within a year or so, right? You got
to
produce here.
Yeah, I have to have it done, you know, it's for my master's thesis, and I'm hoping to have it completed within the next two semesters, the next two sessions. It's going to be about 240 pages, and I'll see what my, you know, what my advisor says, obviously. He's the one that controls the grade on the project, but I'm hoping to have it done. I already have 70 pages of it completed, but, you know, obviously there's going to be a lot of intense editing, and I have to make sure it meets with the university standards, and it's going to be a lot of research still that I have done. I'm working with NASA. I actually have a general. It's Cheyenne Mountain who's assisting me. And, you know, also an admiral, retired admiral, who still works in Virginia, and he does a lot of work with the military there. I'm trying to get onto the Nimitz, the USS Nimitz. I'm waiting for it to come back from Washington. I believe that's where it's stationed right now, Washington State, or I forget which area. But so he's going to help me. He's a wonderful friend. I've known him for years. I met him at the Pentagon when I was doing some research at Cabrillo College. And he just stayed with me throughout my research. And it was nice to build a friendship with an admiral. And that's him being from the Navy and my dad being Navy, I think they both really indirectly without realizing helped inspire the book too, because we're so inspired by our own personal experiences. So, yeah.
Why do all this research? It's science fiction. Why not just make it all up?
No. Well, you can, but if you're really interested in making something with a scientific background, you have to know the science, and at least enough to pull it off, you know, to make it genuine. I mean, you can do a lot of science fiction fantasy, I suppose, but I love research, too, and I'm very interested in the science aspects of NASA and the technology that we have out there, and I want to be able to bring that to the public and bring that into my work. So, I mean, you got to go to the top people to ask them how it's done.
So this will be fiction, but completely plausible.
Exactly. That's right. I wanted to have that thin line between reality and non-reality.
Is this a stretch for you?
Well, a little bit, yeah. It is a challenge. And I remember one of my mentors, when he read my what I was going to be doing, you know, the synopsis, he's going, good luck. And I said, well, I love a challenge, and I'm going to do this. And when he was surprised, I already had 70 pages done of it and all the research I'd already done. And I found a compadre, a librarian, his name's Brian, up at Wilkes University, and he's a huge sci-fi fanatic, and he just reads everything about space. So I've found a really good compadre at Wilkes University to help me with my research, too.
Well, I don't mind telling you that everything you've told me about this sounds like a real home run.
Oh, yeah.
And science fiction's quite popular.
Yeah.
Now. You know,
yeah.
Not like Harry Potter popular, but for people who like science fiction, you know, millions of people read them.
Yes.
Tons of them become movies.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping, that will be a movie. And I've actually been approaching some of my ideas to some screenwriters at the university just to get some insight, you know, about how to approach it through with a cinematic or cinema theme. And, you know, it's a difficult balance, because your literary profs are like, no, this has to be strict literary, you know, writing and composition. But my imagination's going, yes, and I want it to be the best literary fiction I can write, but at the same time, I want to gear it towards the public and gear it towards film. So that's my hope. Yeah.
Well, how do you write good science fiction?
I think it's, number one, being passionate about it. You know, you have to really have a true interest in what you're writing about. And I also think, you know, you don't want to over-research, because you can glom up the book, but having a good background of what you're writing about so that it comes across genuine. For me, the best science fiction would be like, you know, anything that has to do with the current Mars or different programs that we're involved in that incorporate NASA, incorporate, you know, space programs, because that, for me, brings it into a real focus about, you know, where we are now. And we've come so far in our society and in our world today with science and what we've been able to accomplish with Mars and Leaving the Moon. I'm fascinated.
And do you write local characters and local people into it the same way you might other stories?
I certainly do, and I'm probably going to even have you in one of my books.
Oh, my gosh. A bad interviewer was on the street and says, I don't believe you, Melanie. That's probably what you're going to remember.
Right.
And none of it is written yet?
Oh, 70 pages of
it. Okay.
Yeah, and also have a sci-fi short story that I am still finishing up and editing, but I'm sending that out shortly, too. And I want some really good feedback on it.
Is that handwritten in front of you?
Oh, this
No,
is,
those are notes, and then
yeah,
there's a print.
Yeah.
Okay, I was
going to
say you're not writing your
right.
stories handwriting, so... Well, I have to take a break, but we're going to
sure.
come back at 7:40. You're going to read for me,
sure.
correct? I wouldn't mind hearing Ode to the Susquehanna again. That's yeah. the one being set to music, and an excerpt of the sci-fi novel would be appropriate. We can hear a short
okay.
bit. And you brought the award-winning poem,
I
too.
Did,
you
yes.
won a fabulous award. We'll talk about that when we come back. Melanie Sims is back, poet laureate, native of Sunbury. Is that accurate?
I was born in Connecticut, but I've been living in Pennsylvania since 2001.
Okay.
My family has been here forever.
All right, lived in the Sunbury area for a time, and now
yeah.
over in Selins Grove. Graduate student, author, scholar, and soon to be hopefully published, science fiction writer Melanie Sims. We'll return at 7:40 with more of this. In the studio with us now, Melanie Sims is back. She has lots of ties to Pennsylvania, lived in Sunbury for a time, now in Selins Grove, studying at Wilkes University to get her master's, which she should have that within a year or so. So she's a graduate student and a published author of poetry, now working on a science fiction novel. Maybe we'll hear a section of that. But she's been all over the state and is soon going to be at Northwestern University, hearing music.
Mm-hmm. Northeastern Illinois University.
Northeastern.
Yes, that's
okay.
right.
Yeah, tell our audience about this again. A composer found your poem.
Yeah, actually, Dr. Rose Barassa at Northeastern Illinois University from the music department was looking to put together a collection of music about rivers. And she just happened to fall upon Ode to a Lover on the Susquehanna, which I wrote in Sunbury by sitting by the river. And she said, could we have permission to use this? And so I said, okay, sure, what's the deal? And she said, well, off-Broadway composer Leo Schwartz, who just finished The Book of Mermen, would be interested in creating the music for this. And, of course, I already knew who Leo Schwartz was because of his reputation. And I'm like, oh, God, please.
Do it.
So you have my permission. So, yeah, they already sent me the sheet music, and it's going to be performed probably towards the end of the year, around November, December, and fly me out to hear it. I'm very excited.
Yeah. All right, so you're going to go out and hear them performing.
Yeah.
Music that's already authored.
Yes,
right?
The lyrics of the poem that I wrote in Sunbury.
It is done.
Yeah.
Ode to Susquehanna.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you brought that with you. I always have you read while you're here, so it's such a treat. Read Ode to the Susquehanna again, if you would, please.
Sure, I'd be happy to. Ode to a Lover on the Susquehanna. Love needs no language, not here, along the Susquehanna. Watching as she twists and bends, returning to mouths where sunlight and lovers meet. Not here, where the silver maple and black cherry sway patiently amidst the romantic odes of the meadowlark or the ecstasy of the osprey as they dive and reemerge fed by the river. Not here, where the haunting tales of lush mountains record through the ages those first seedlings of love. Here along the Susquehanna she reveals us to one another as we confess our love, baptized between her gentle waves. How has she found us here along the Susquehanna, reflecting in our gaze the memories of our ancient love's return?
I love it. And that is in your first book?
One of the first books that I produced out of Sunbury from Remember the Sun. Yeah, that was by Sunbury Press.
Remember
yeah.
the Sun, okay. Mm-hmm. And also out now is Life Signs and Fortune Cookies
mm-hmm.
with more of your poems.
Yes.
And just fabulous work here. These books sell hundreds of copies?
They sell some, but I have to find a way of promoting them better or marketing them better. It's been a difficult faulty with marketing for some reason. When they are actually in someone's hands, they seem to do well, but it's getting them out there. Mm-hmm. So I've done had to do a lot of self-promotion and, you know, trying to send them out individually. I do a lot of radio, poetry radio shows, anything I can think to get them heard. Also, poetry is more eclectic. It's a more difficult sell, I have found personally. And, you know, so that's one of the other reasons why I'm trying to integrate my imagery and what I've learned through language from poetry into science fiction, a second passion. So I have a feeling that that will help get. And once one book becomes popular, then all your other little ones get picked up better. So.
Okay. Well, not a lot of people take time for poetry today. I mean, there's a couple readings occasionally up in Lewisburg, and you can always go to poetry readings at Bucknell, and they'll have 20-some people there. Right. But those are the 20-some fans around here.
Yeah.
And most other folks. But I'll tell you what, I'm so glad that I've met you. I found it to be enriching. And, you know, there are a few poetry opportunities around here. And Jerry Wimple, who I knew in high school, and that would be 50 years ago. So 45 years ago. He's cranking out great poets and writers up at Bloomsburg University.
He knows his stuff. And he actually came to one of my poetry readings up at the library here in Northumberland, the Northumberland Dursa Priestley Library. And he was there right with me, supporting me, and I shared some of his own work. I love Jerry, and he knows that,
And that was the summer reading this year, right?
Yeah, okay,
yeah, unfortunately,
just this year.
I had a conflict. It was a half a block
from my house.
Yeah,
I know, waiting, hoping you would come.
I know, sorry. You are going to be at the Barnes & Noble in Wilkes-Barre this Saturday. What an intriguing thing. The Luzerne County Transportation Authority picks out artists and poetry and puts their work on the buses. Mm-hmm. People comment on all this, but there's also a little bit of a kickoff this weekend, right?
Yeah, there's going to be a launch party August 16th. the poets that were selected for the Poet in Transit competition, I was one of the poets selected, and my poem, Little God, theme was small for this year, will be put up on all the different buses throughout the whole system. So I'm going to have a lot of visibility. So that's really exciting for me. And being able to share also a poem that I wrote for my son, which means a lot to me, and being able to share that. And he was all excited that that was put up. Yeah.
So then you put MelanieSims.com at the bottom of the poem, and maybe they'll check your website.
I'm not sure. I've never seen this before. So I'm very interested to see how this is going to look. It's like a little plaque, basically. Basically, and they put it up on all the buses in the system.
Okay, so you have to ride the buses in Wilkes-Barre.
Yeah, I'll definitely have to.
Check that out. Please search Melanie Sims. Her books are available at Amazon.com. One of your poems just won an award. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that was for the theme small. I'm going to read that poem. it's called Little God, and this was actually the one that was selected for Poet in Transit. My son doesn't know his own strength. Shadows flicker across the room, ducks, rabbits, and wolves. He has made them with his hands and watches them dance across the moonlit wall. He laughs as he creates creature after creature, my little God.
All right, so, because he's creating creatures. That's interesting. Yeah, wonderful metaphor. And that one in a competition?
Yeah, that's the one that was selected for Poet in Transit. Yeah, that was, it's the one that's going to be on all the buses.
Super. All right, so that your ode to a lover on the Susquehanna is going to be set to music, and, of course, you're going on the buses. And you go all over the state. Honestly, you've been everywhere.
Yeah.
WITF, you know, the NPR affiliate, you've been up there. And
Pittston
up in,
and
right, yeah,
WBIA.
BBIA too.
Yeah.
Your sci-fi novel. let's dig a little bit farther into that. Can we read a tiny bit of it?
I can read a small little bit, only because it hasn't been published yet, and, you know, but I'll reach you later.
We haven't even been turned into the professor yet,
have you? Oh, not yet, no. It's going to have to be good. I'm nervous. You know, those guys are sticklers. They don't let you get out of that program without knowing your stuff, I'll tell you. So, but yeah, I'll go ahead and read. This is actually a pre-edited version, but it's called Anomaly Chapter 1, USS Stratcom, Space Control and Space Surveillance, 1300 hours. General, sorry to bother you. Lieutenant Martinson reporting. Martinson saluted the general politely. At ease, Lieutenant, what you got there? General Benjamin Hathaway, a 6'5", muscular, 59-year-old soldier, surveyed the anxiety in Lieutenant's eyes with curiosity. His intensity worried him. The lieutenant spoke directly. Sir, radar and electrical optical sensors are tracking an artificial anomaly outside Earth's atmosphere. Current speed and trajectory show it's on a straight path to Earth. A meteor, Lieutenant? No, General. It's not a meteor. Reports confirm the anomaly slows down, then picks up speed again. Let me see that report, Hathaway grabs the report out of Martinson's hands. His eyes scans the object projected flight path.
Oh, and here comes the orb. Why, and if folks didn't hear our first segment, you actually saw some sort of an orange orb around 2 in the morning.
Yes, and, it was tremendous. And actually, if you've ever read the book Invasion of the Orange Orbs by one of our Sunbury authors, Terry Ray, who's also an Air Force pilot and MUFON field director, and also a sci-fi author, prolific sci-fi author, you will learn a lot about orange orbs from that book.
Yeah. MUFON?
MUFON, what Mutual UFO Network. Yeah, okay. It's been in existence for quite a long time now, and they take reports. A lot of them are actually retired Air Force folk, and they take reports of unidentified flying objects. I think also it's a way to track things that are going on in the air, whether they're alien or not. Actually, it's only a small percentage that they actually research and find that could be extraterrestrial. The rest of it, they all find an explanation for it, but they're very good at researching it.
Okay, so this is UFOs that are real UFOs, right?
I guess,
for
the
lack
real
of
deals.
A better phrase.
Yeah,
okay.
Pictures and everything.
So, and this was the inspiration for your work, that is your graduate work, and mm-hmm. now you're advancing that. What is your time frame to finish the science fiction novel?
Whatever my director tells me to do.
Okay, well, he says, I want it on my desk.
If he says he wants it on my desk, you know, he's actually suggested all of us do is finish the novel in 3 months and then start going back and rechecking the research and re-editing. And a lot of it's through the editing process that we actually get the work out.
All right, so you are a poet and a mm-hmm. soon-to-be-published sci-fi author.
Mm-hmm.
Your music is in the score.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do for a living?
I'm a life coach. So basically, I work for different, I subcontract for different companies, and they send me phone calls to people that just need direction and advice for career, or, you know, just, I'm like a Dear Abby online.
And did you get some calls from folks who worked at WoodMode?
We're not connected. It's more of an international corporation, but I mean, I you know, if I did get a call, I which I haven't, I'd certainly help them, but yeah, I don't get that.
Okay, not from those mm-hmm. individuals, but this is a work-a-day thing?
Yep. I do it every day. Home. I log in. I work as long as I want, and I log right out.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Life coaching individuals.
Yeah.
Okay. And, of course, we see you around the region reading. You'll be up at Barnes & Noble this Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Any other public appearances scheduled? Your appearances tend to follow the publication of things, so you don't have anything new at the moment.
Exactly. No, but I've actually contacted a couple of other radio stations that have asked me to send my information, and so I'm going to be working with them and starting to get some information there. Pretty sure I have one. I just didn't write the name of the station down. So
MelanieSims.com. Mm-hmm. Well, you're a big deal around here, so thank you. Please come back and visit us. Even before Alien Prophecy is done, all this research you're going into, we didn't get too far into it. We don't have time, but you've been all over the country talking to important NASA folks and military folks to make mm-hmm. sure that your novel is plausible.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's based on a UFO that's unexplainable. So, of course, there's some telepathy that's involved in this. It sounds like a fascinating book. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. I'm always happy to be on your show.
All right, and do stay in touch. Melanie Sims.